This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Russia joined the U.S. and other nations urging restraint from Azerbaijan and Armenia as fierce weekend fighting between the two rival neighbors over the breakaway Nagorno-Karabakh region threatened to spiral into a wider conflict. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said to reporters Monday, "We call on all sides in the conflict to show maximum restraint, to reject military methods, and to refuse any steps that might provoke an undesired escalation of the situation that is already a military conflict." Peskov said President Vladimir Putin had discussed the crisis with Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan over the weekend and would do the same with Azeri leader Ilham Aliyev if necessary. The U.S. Department of State also issued a press release saying the United States was alarmed by large-scale military action that had led to significant casualties. It said the United States condemns in the strongest terms this escalation of violence. Much of the animosity between Armenia and Azerbaijan has focused on Nagorno-Karabakh. It's an ethnically Armenian enclave inside Azerbaijan's borders. It was the site of a war in the early 1990s that killed 30,000 people and displaced over 1 million. The World Health Organization says 120 million rapid diagnostic tests for the coronavirus will be made available to low- and middle-income countries as the world approaches a death toll of 1 million. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus told a news conference in Geneva on Monday that the tests would cost less than $5. The Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center reported Monday that there have been close to 1 million deaths from COVID-19 worldwide. There have been more than 33 million infections around the globe. In India, the country's confirmed coronavirus tally reached 6 million on Monday. It's behind only the United States. This is VOA News. Just before Tuesday's presidential debate between incumbent Republican Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden, the New York Times has published a lengthy report showing that Mr. Trump, a billionaire who has often boasted of his business acumen, paid $750 in U.S. income taxes in both 2016, the year he ran for the presidency, and 2017, his first year in office. The newspaper didn't publish information about his tax returns for 2018 and 2019. The report said it reviewed nearly two decades of Mr. Trump's tax returns and that they showed the real estate titan, reality TV show host, and now politician, lost hundreds of millions of dollars in his business deals. Those losses allowed him to write off income and pay nothing in taxes in 10 of the 15 years before he ran for the White House. In all, the newspaper said Mr. Trump paid no federal income taxes in 11 of the 18 years of returns it examined. Polish leaders on Monday rejected suggestions that LGBT people in Poland are facing any kind of discrimination or deprivation of rights, following the publication of an open letter from 50 ambassadors and international representatives expressing their support for challenges faced by Polish LGBT communities. The ambassador's appeal, coordinated by Belgium's embassy in Poland and published Sunday, comes as an increasingly visible LGBT community in Poland has faced a backlash from the right-wing government, many local communities, and the Catholic Church. Human rights are universal, and everyone, including LGBT persons, are entitled to their full enjoyment, the letter said, using the acronym for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people. At a news conference Monday, Poland's prime minister said he agreed that every person deserves respect, but that he completely disagreed with the ambassador's claim that LGBT people in Poland are being deprived of it. A spokesman for UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the United Nations chief welcomes the agreement Yemen's warring parties have reached to exchange more than 1,000 prisoners. It's a move designed to revive the stalled peace process of the more than five-year-old conflict. Stefan Dujarric said in a statement Monday that Guterres urges the parties to build on this momentum and finalize arrangements for the release of all remaining detainees. The Yemeni government, which is backed by a Saudi-led military coalition, and the Houthis reached the prisoner exchange deal after meeting for more than a week in the Swiss village of Glion. The two sides are now set to release 1,081 prisoners. You can find more on this and other stories at our website, voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, and from Washington, you're listening to VOA News.